is a remastered version of Triples and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.
Hi, everybody. On this technically challenged episode of Triples and Ecstasy 106, we are coming to you live as soon as I flip my camera over. We are coming to you live from DS9 number 3. In sunny Star Trek Online, where, if you notice, there are some awesome bank space behind us, and that bank space behind us cues very nicely into what we're going to be talking about this week's episode, which is, of course, lots of cool things that have been coming down the pipe and how we feel about those things. So, on the show today, we have Dr. Trekkie. How you doing, sir?
Hello. I'm a little disoriented with our technically challenged musicless intro, but it's also freeing in some ways.
it's liberating.
That's the word I was looking for, liberating.
Right. Skipper, how you doing today, sir?
Is it quiet time already?
I honestly have no clue. Everything is up and running the way that it should be, but for some reason the audio is all like, I don't wanna. So, Señor Woody Valley, how are you today?
I'm well. Good day, everyone.
So, yeah. Things that are going on. News and whatnot. We really only had one developer blog this week. But we have a lot of stuff that came out in patch notes and in other kind of secondary media sources. So we'll kind of and there was a guest blog from what I'm looking at. So first things first, if you have not checked your backpacks inventory, if you haven't checked your inventory and you haven't checked your personal bank account in STO, you should. Because you just got extra space, and this is game wide. So whether you're free play or lifer or month to month VIP or whatever, still gonna get this bump. It's correct me if I'm wrong, it's your inventory and 18 in your storage. I don't remember.
That is right. Woody, why don't you step through the news? Let's start with what we did, the inventory. Maybe we should talk about the Galaxy class ship.
Yep, sure. One of the other news has come out is the revamp of the Galaxy class ship, aka the Next Generation Enterprise. So I'm really read deeply into this particular dev blog, guys. So what's the info that comes out of this one?
Well, they look gorgeous, but I haven't.
Crisp.
Yeah, definitely crisp, and it's got all the Galaxy bits and pieces that we love with the three nacelle retrofit and sort of the normal version.
Do we call that the future Galaxy?
Yeah, I mean I would prefer it would be that, but I don't think that is the official name. But of course, it comes from the All Good Things episode.
Yeah, the All Good Things Galaxy.
Yes, I prefer that name. I don't know if STO agrees with me, but it is here at least in spirit.
Cat says the Galaxy Dreadnought.
The Dreadnought, yeah, he's giving us the official name.
Yeah, actually, it just reminded me, in storage, actually, got the Galaxy retrofit, so I might actually pull it out sometime soon, have a look and see
what... I have to say, this is my favorite ship. I'm mostly in the ship. I know it's a little old-fashioned, but I love this ship with my Borg enhancements. It's my favorite. So I'm glad to see it's coming back and some of the animations getting tweaked, I guess. I've never been a huge fan of the Dreadnought, but maybe we should talk about the slots.
Is that the console?
That's it.
Next up, what else we talked about? We talked about the slots, haven't we?
We talked about the saucer. Galaxy Dreadnought can carry cannons, the others cannot. Pretty much there's going to be a universal ensign.
Yeah, well, we know the separation console comes with these things. Hetsu is reminding us that the Galaxy Dreadnought gets a hangar as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is...
It mentions that it comes with a Type A shuttle pet. So I don't know if it's a combat pet or a non-combat pet, but yes, it does have a hangar pet there that you can either purchase one in the hangar pet store for energy credits, or dismiss your Dreadnought and reclaim a new one with which will be fully outfitted with a Type A shuttle.
Now, those of us that did the free Type 8 shuttle, which was next gen from the Taco Bell thing way back when it first started. Does this mean that is now an official pet for the Galaxy?
Probably is. I'm not too sure myself.
We're not sure. You people find out, tell us.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at these improvements here on the bottom, because we touched a little about the animation, but I guess now one of those pet peeves is going to go away, that the animation sequence is going to match your ship
selection, selection.
Yeah.
I pointed out there was a couple versions of the Galaxy. The older ones had the Envoy and the Celestial. I don't know if the separation will include those, or the higher end ones, which are the regular Galaxy, the Venture, the Monarch, and so forth, like that.
I never loved the different ones. I mean, I really liked the old traditional one, but I don't know. I never had a preference, so I never really saw this bug. It didn't happen to me that much.
I like the Venture. I like the saucer difference.
Yeah, I guess Venture. Yeah.
Venture, Monarch, or toward the end of the Galaxy's life, I think is as it served.
So there's a ton of stuff in the Dreadnought improvements. We already talked about the hangar bay. And there's a bunch of other stuff in here with phaser lance wide beam.
Yeah, a while back they hinted when the saucer separation that the spiral lance becomes like a shotgun effect while it's separated. I'm not sure if that's coming into power or not, but that was hinted by the devs way back.
So I totally forgot the antimatter sped, which was made famous in Best of Both Worlds Part 2, which Shelby in command of the saucer section, but it now says it's going to be it's going to apply to the dreadnought as well. And I never I didn't know it was not on the dreadnought in the first place.
It's a console game.
I know, but it's fun to think about it.
Yep, cool. So there you have it with the galaxy. So moving on. It's one of the news is probably a bit of a sad news is the captain's log that comes out on the Massively website that Terry Lynn does is no longer going to be continuing. Unfortunately, the parent company AOL has did a big mass budget cut to the joystick Massively side of things. So they end up having to do big staff cuts, including all the columnists. So Terry, even though she did have an offer of staying on for another 2 weeks to finish off the month with Captain's Log, she said, no, I'll leave it at that, and you can use the money to pay some of the more of the full-time staff that's going to be losing their jobs. So it's sad night. You know, I quite enjoy Terry's Captain's Logs that she does. So so hopefully it can come back in the future once the budget gets a little bit more better. So yeah.
I guess Massively doesn't pay in bison bucks that we're all used to. They pay in real bucks.
The other little notes we got here are the release notes for the 27th during the maintenance and patching. It was just something had here on the bottom of the release notes was the bonus expertise and foundry weekend bonus has been added to the calendar. Now, I've one thing I've noticed in the calendar, it's actually replacing the Dilithium weekend and the Reputation Marks bonus weekend with these two events for the month of March. So, pretty much explanations, which is when's next weekend, the 6th through to the 11th with the next is the expertise weekend, and the 20th through to the 25th of March is the foundry bonus weekend. So you get bonus expertise, so it's good to like spend the weekend to level up your character there. And the foundry is actually once you complete the foundry mission, you'll get a reputation marks box, which you get a choice of marks. So that it doesn't say how many marks you'll get from it. We'll probably find out in due time. But yeah, so that's what's going to be happening with the bonus weekends this month. But I've got a bit of a bone to pick with it, especially with the foundry side of things. It's about 4 to 6 weeks ago, Captain Gecko was on the Primetime UGC podcast talking about foundry. And one of the things he pointed out was it's sort of like having to deal with the people who go off and do these missions that pretty much in the line of exploitation, and they have to do something about it. And during that time afterwards, there are quite a lot of missions there that pretty much been known as clicker missions have been red tagged, no longer be able to get your dilithium from them. Like the missions like Admiral Bobo Goes to War, the Royal Rumbles, all these all other little missions that involve, you know, exploiting to get your accolades quicker, all those sort of missions that were qualified now are no longer qualified. You probably could say that quite a lot of Foundry authors, the ones that do the right thing and write story missions, probably be thinking, we wanted this in the first place, this type of thing. And, you know, but that was the reason why they got rid of the 50 fleet marks way back when. So it's sort of like, they're sort of like, I think you're probably going to get some very upset Foundry authors out there that they've done this. It's sort of like, some people might say that they've done quite a big backflip here. So, what are you guys' thoughts about this?
Woody, does this mean the missions aren't playable anymore in the Foundry? Because I like to play the Royal Rumble just to test my build of my ship.
They're playable, but you won't get any dilithium from them because they've been, like, red-tagged or got that red writing to say that this mission doesn't qualify for dilithium.
Yeah, but so what's the point? Like, is this because they'd rather people use other routes for their dilithium, or these things have been played too many times, or
for the big Foundry civil war that we had, you know, almost a year ago now and stuff like that, there were players out there who were jumping on the Foundry and creating these grinder style clicker Foundry missions, right, so that they can quickly get loot from, to get EC from destroying ships, and, you know, once they finished it, they get their, you know, good dose of dilithium and 50 fleet marks. But what the devs did was they changed it and they took out the 50 fleet marks, put out a reasonably good excuse for the reason why it was only just meant to be a limited time thing, and made it to the system of how long it takes is how much dilithium you get, which is the system we use today. Quite a lot of Foundry, or, you know, pretty much goes into that Foundry war we had, where people were getting upset that these clicker missions were invading our Foundry, where the people who want to do the right thing with the Foundry and actually create story-based content missions, sort of like getting upset because they're not getting plays that like they used to and whatnot. Because all these people were jumping onto these clicker Foundry missions to get the quick, sweet loots and anything else they can get out of it. Like I mentioned, they adjusted it by not making it so you get fleet marks from it and time-wise from it. Now it feels like they've done a complete backflip now, and even though it's, you know, only just a weekend, they've brought back the marks, yeah, and red tag all these missions that can be deemed to be very exploitable, like the Admiral Popo Goes to War and Royal Rumble. So it's sort of like, why couldn't you guys do this in the first place, type of thing, you know, instead of doing this so-called backflip.
So I have a theory on this. One, because this matches up with their new bonus weekend format idea. But also because, you know, let's be honest, STO, like, they're going to do feature missions with crazy voice actors, or not crazy voice actors, but with named voice actors, and only put out maybe 4 of those or 6 of those a year. Everything else, all of your other actual real content is, I've gotten this feeling, I don't know whether everybody else does or not, but I have a feeling that that Star Trek Online is leaving content to the Foundry. Which is why...
This is the first time I've heard this theory on the show.
Well, which is why... You're right. You know, it's why every week they show you a brand new episode that you go play. Because technically, if you just sat there and ran the Foundry missions that they're telling you to play once a week. Don't get me wrong. I mean, all of these are they're decent enough missions. They wouldn't recommend them to you if they were just crap missions. But and of course, you play the ones that we review too. You know, then technically you're getting two episodes a week, and that's really good content. Now, the problem is I don't pay, like, I'm pretty sure Woody Valley would kill for me to pay him to design Foundry missions. But I'm not paying the community to entertain me.
Wasn't there a tip system?
Yeah, there is a tip system of, you know, up to 100 dilithium tips to the Foundry author when you leave a review.
Well, that's sexy and all, and yeah, I get
but
that.
But I don't give her any plays, and I don't give very much in the way of tips either. So, but for me, me personally. I don't really care if I get to lithium tips or not, because, you know, I'm quite capable of just getting out and, you know, earning my dilithium through, you know, doing
them. He earns his dilithium the right way.
Play other people's Foundry missions and whatnot. Yeah, but at the end of the day, I just really, really like it if people just spend the time to play my missions, you know, because I don't have very much in the way of big plays with my Foundry missions. You know, the best amount of most reviews on one of my missions is 153. Yeah,
so go play Woody Valley's missions,
please.
But what I'm getting at here is, I'm not paying you to play Star Trek Online. I'm not relying on you to provide me the game outlet to spend my entertainment time, because my time is incredibly spent on work and, you know, in this case right now, finding jobs and, you know, my recent move and other things that I've got going on, friends that I have to deal that I interact with on a regular basis. Well, my real world, my gaming time is very, very condensed and compressed. I mean, I play World of Warcraft and maybe I've been on there 20 minutes a day to handle my basic farming needs out in Pandaria. But where I'm going with this is that I'm not paying the community to entertain me. I'm paying Perfect World to provide me an entertainment experience. And if their interpretation of providing me an entertainment experience is to tell me to, is to point at somebody else in the community and say, let that person entertain you, then, like, I get a little upset at them, but they're incentivizing that in a way by saying, go let that person entertain you. And during this weekend, we're going to give you even more reason for that to happen. Now, yes, the Foundry opens itself up to a lot of these click-through missions. But if, and Woody, you can speak to this more than I can, if Perfect World's making a point of actively policing for these exploit missions and flagging them, like you're saying, then they're serving as the community's QA, in a way, like quality assurance, by making sure that the missions that they find that meet these that meet the this shouldn't give out dilithium criteria, you know, get addressed and they get appropriately flagged. I mean, are you getting the sense that the missions that need to be flagged are being flagged, or you get the sense that they're just trying to tread water to find the most egregious problems?
Captain Gecko said in the mission, they seems like they're starting to toughen up with exploiting. It's probably something we really need to talk to a dev or community manager about. Is it sounds like they want to do stuff for the Foundry, but they can't do things for the Foundry because people are just quite openly exploiting it. And obviously that's the, and probably to, as you've probably just seen, is to bring back some sort of marks in one way or another back into the Foundry, they're going to have to do this. So obviously they finally pulled their finger out and done this so they can bring back the Foundry, bring back the missions. And see, quite a lot of people, I know quite a lot of, I wasn't one of them, I stayed clear of it all, but, you know, quite a lot of story-based Foundry authors Look, I've been getting quite upset about it. And, you know, just looking at it now, they're probably even more upset about it because this is what they wanted in the first place of all these clicker-style, get-your-sweet-loot, right-here-type-style missions are finally getting dealt with. So,
well, I get that, but I mean, yeah, who number knows? One problem...
Sorry to interrupt there, but probably the no, thing fine, is, it might be just a different sort of attitude between Daniel Stahl and Stephen D'Angelo. So, you know, because it's now, you know, we know that Stephen D'Angelo's been in the seat since start of season 8, which came out at the end of October. He's been in the seat now for like 3 months. So it's obviously, he's obviously implemented these changes to be a bit more rewarding to the people who wanted to do the right thing. So,
well, and I will say this. I mean, it's no secret here on the show and out in the larger community. I am not a perfect world Kool-Aid drinker by any stretch of the imagination, but I will admit to a little bit of Kool-Aid sipping here this last season. Like season 8 has really done some things, like content-wise, that I've appreciated. But when it sends me right back to the grind between those content things, I just sort of, I get disheartened, I guess. Maybe you know what? Maybe it's because I haven't given the Foundry a try, as much as I would like, or as much as I really should. But that being said, I think the problem is anytime that a company notices a problem, you can either try to make a gross adjustment to it in real time, or you can pull something out of the system, troubleshoot it a little bit, and put it back in the system. And I think this changing it over from hourly situations to a weekend type deal, I think that's going to be a healthy thing for the Foundry. I think that's going to be a not only a healthy thing for the Foundry, but I think it's also going to be a like it's going to see more Foundry effort. What I would like to see is during that weekend, instead of one Foundry mission being done, I'd love to see during that weekend to see a Foundry mission a day being put out. And to be honest, that may be something that that we may look at, is to pull a couple of like greatest hits or lost gems on Foundry weekends and be like, by the way, guys, since it's Friday, why don't you hit up these three missions? You'll be glad you did. And we just go from there. That'll be something we can talk about off camera or off air. But I think it'll definitely be something cool.
Yeah, if we do something like that, we might need to mention these three missions the weekend before. So when the show gets officially released, get released leading into that particular bonus weekend.
Oh yeah, because we get very little live viewing. We get a lot of iTunes. So yeah, we'll have to look at it the week before, but that's the glory of having a calendar.
Yeah, well, also another thing too is I'm not expecting to get overloaded with people playing my missions. Sure, you know, I say, yeah, please give it a try and stuff like that and ask. At the end of the day, it's up to them to play it, because, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if people are just going to be start playing the spotlight missions more than just playing everyone else's. And another thing too is, you know, with all this policing and stuff like that, and re-tagging these particular clicker missions, especially if they're loaded up in the top rated missions and stuff like that, you know, even though they're red tagged, they're still sitting in the top rated missions, taking up space. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago I had a look at, and I counted about 14 out of the 50 top rated missions that are on the top rated list that are there. And I was thinking along the lines, well, that's like 14 opportunities for other authors that miss out on it, because it is very tough. People might agree with me, to be really noticed is to actually have a spotlight mission or have a real big reputation in the foundry of what you create, you know. But people just got to remember there's only one Ally McFurdy, you know, there's only one Kirkfat, there's only one Havraha, there's only one Admiral Murphy. Yeah, there's plenty of other people who've got their own unique styles and talents who do things in the foundry. Yeah, and some of these people are just not getting noticed. Sure, you know, I try to do my best to promote these sort of missions and stuff like that, but it's still just one very tough road to take to, you know, have to be out there, you know. Of course, you know, I've had heaps of people tell me that just remember to do it for you, you know, play a mission that you want to play. Yeah, but you can only go so far with that, you know, because you don't get dilithium for playing your own missions. So, you know, it's still very big can of worms there to, there's probably some issues there that still needs to be dealt with.
So see, what I'm hearing is, bottom line, everybody should play Woody Valley's missions. That's what I'm hearing. So, and then whatever other missions we recommend and other missions that Perfect World recommends. So yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, well, it's just people just got to remember there's a lot more out there than just the top rated list and Foundry Spotlight missions. So, you know, sure, it might be a bit tough to go dig them out and find them and play them and stuff like that, but they are there. You know, probably one thing I've always like to say is, if you got Foundry authors in your fleet, support them, you know, play their missions just to help them out and stuff like that. You know, it's one thing I've always finding very encouraging is your own fleet supporting my work. If you got someone in your fleet that's doing Foundry missions and stuff like that, play them. You know, it's yeah, how much of an encouragement it is to have your own fleet playing these sort of missions.
Did anybody get a chance to look at the Organized Space PvP guest blog that was done? No, there was an article on Organized Space PvP, and as y'all know, I don't really do PvP, so I didn't look at it too much, apart from seeing that it existed. So, usually these guest blogs are pretty good pieces. They're not just mouthpieces, not just opinion pieces, but, you know, they're legitimate kind of freestanding, good little blog articles. So definitely worth reading, especially since with Captain's Log going away, it's like our media sphere kind of shrunk a little bit. This is always weird. Now I'm going to jump on this because unfortunately I wasn't able to talk until it looked like my ping rate was what was killing me. But after I killed like every program on my computer, I'm suddenly able to talk. So yeah, the Captain's Log going away on massively, and of course, you know, Terry Lynn's done a great job and has provided a lot of fresh and good perspectives on a lot of things that have come down the pipe for a while. But massively, I mean, it sounds kind of redundant to say, but massively is massive. It's huge. And for that part of our media sphere to disappear, at least in a very orchestra, in a very direct way. I mean, obviously massively is going to continue to talk about STO, but now instead of having a dedicated blog to it, they're going to talk, you know, probably just going to hit the highlights and have that be that. But for that to happen would almost be like print media suddenly no longer getting the New York Times. You know, I mean, we don't have that kind of direct feed into media attention. And so therefore, I think that I think what's going to end up needing to happen is that the other media outlets, I mean, obviously Priority One and some of these other guys, they're doing, you know, really major efforts and they're stepping up really well. But, you know, I think other media outlets could really capitalize on that by kind of stepping into that gap. So it would definitely be something You know, we as media journalistas of the STO world, it's definitely something that kind of concerns us, because anytime a colleague goes off the air or you know, changes to a different format or a different location, it obviously, you know, registers to us and pops up on our radar. You had a mission in the show notes, is that right?
I found your mission, sure do. This mission is called End of the Borg by Rocket Carrion, I believe it's pronounced. This is definitely the looks of things of a first-time author's mission. As said, the title of the mission is called, you know, it does evolve around the Borg, so you have to be like level 50, I believe, is to start finding the Borg. Basically, the outline of the mission is you've been asked to go and take a virus and upload it into the Borg mainframe at a particular Borg base. There's quite a lot of clearing the room, I like to call it, of just killing off Borg squads. It's a bit of a mentality of first-time Foundry users. They seem to have something more in the line of got to shoot everything inside type style of missions. But of course, they grow in time. But, yeah, I'm burning through it myself. So, so it's go in and to upload a virus with a bit of a twist. The person who asks you to go do this is not who he seems to be. I don't want to give too much away of the storyline to this. It's a very good, well-written story. He's, even though, you know, to me it just feels a bit too much in the way of got to kill everything in sight style of mission, it does have a bit of a balance between, you know, story, battles, and interacting with objects between the three. So it's I gave it 4 stars. Yeah, like I said, it's a very good mission, and definitely worth giving it a try. It gave me a little bit over 1,300 dilithium from it too, so it's not a short one by far, too. So yeah, definitely give it a try. So the mission's called End of the Borg by Rocket Kyarian. I think I pronounced that name right. So.
Oh, yeah, and we'll make sure we'll look to make sure that gets set up in the on the show notes on the website, maybe, that's what we'll plan to do. So, absolutely, what I'm going to do is, due to technical issues, I think we're going to wrap this here. Still been a really productive discussion, really productive show. We've got a couple of things in the pipe, so definitely stay tuned to Tribbles in Ecstasy here in the next couple of weeks. You know, we've got some things that are going to go on, and more people to inquire as to whether or not they have eaten Vegemite. So we look forward to y'all being with us, and we look forward to my equipment being taken care of. I'm going to get my chief engineer looking on this right away. And we will see you next week, guys. Want to thank everybody here in the staff for bearing with us, and as my electronics all exploded around me.
we wouldn't hurt so bad, don't worry.
Well, you know.
No third degree burns, we're okay.
Right. We did lose a red shirt, but that's kind of what they're for. I want to thank y'all for kind of picking up on that when suddenly I lost my ability to communicate. And of course, to those of you watching on live stream, those of you who are going to check us out on Stitcher and on iTunes, and on the website at holosuitemedia.com, I want to thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Triples in XTC. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thetriplesinecstasy@gmail.com, the only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.